We continue the Shiur in Gemara. We spoke about a goy named Dama ben Netina, who the Gemara says was the exemplified the mitzvah of kibud av. His respect for his father was unparalleled. And the Gemara says that if a goy had so much respect for a father, how much more so should a Jew who is commanded to have respect for parents, how much more so he should respect his parents? Because a goy does not have that mitzvah at all. The Gemara says, let's cite another example with this same man. This Dama ben Netina was a high official in the Roman government. He had many high officers beneath him. But one time he was sitting in a conference room with these high officials in front of him. Suddenly the door burst open. He was dressed in his robes, medals, so on. The door burst open and his mother came charging in. She ran over to him in front of all his officials. She ripped off the medals, tore off this gold braid, hit him over the head with it, spat in his face. They did not retort whatsoever. He did not embarrass her at all. In fact, the Gemara says that her kerchief fell off. He bent down quickly, picked it up, so she shouldn't have to bother bending down. He returned it to her. Now, Tosafot says that his mother was mentally unbalanced. It's understood doing a thing like this. So what is the chidush? The Gemara says that a person who is insane or moron or mentally unbalanced does not feel embarrassment or shame. If he would have embarrassed her, she would not have felt it. So what was the chidush here in not embarrassing her? It's true that his intentions were good, but she did not gain by his not returning or retorting. The answer is that he displayed the kavod, the respect for a mother, regardless of what condition she was in. Out of respect, he did not dare to say anything to her, which would have been like saying behind her back. She couldn't have heard it. Still, his respect was that great. Now, this, the Gemara says, is sort of the peak of respect for parents. A parent insults a child. A parent hurts a child. There's no greater pain than public embarrassment. And if a child can pass this test to show that when he is embarrassed publicly by a parent, that he takes this silently, out of respect, he has reached practically the peak of respect for a parent. We still say practically. So the Gemara says further that it's not that simple to get to a full fulfillment of this mitzvah. The Gemara says, no, there are two cases, two strange types of cases. It is possible for a person to feed his father stuffed turkey, a best type of meat, and yet for this he could get Gehinom. He could be punished by getting Gehinom for it. It's possible for a person to force his father to work at menial labor, the most difficult type of work, using a grindstone to grind wheat, and for this he can get Olam Haba. The Yerushalmi explains this. Detailed two actual cases that happened. There's one case where a son would bring home expensive turkey for his father every night, and the father asked him, where did you get the money to buy this? Where did this come from? And the son very gruffly said to him, mind your own business, chew away at it, and don't ask questions. Well, this was so disrespectful a term that giving him this turkey, this expensive food, but in such a manner, such a disrespectful manner, despite the fact that he fed him so well, he still got Gehinom for it, for his disrespectful attitude and tone of voice. The other case was, well, a man worked at home. His work was with this grindstone. His father rested. Father relaxed, didn't work at all. And one day the king sent an order that one member of the family is forced to come to work in the service of the king. It's forced conscription to work for the king, which was a very difficult type of work. It was like an imprisonment for a number of years. The son said to the father very politely, Father, you take over the work of this grindstone and let me go serve in your place. So here's a case where a son made a father work menial labor, and yet he got Gan Eden for this sacrifice on his part. Rabbi Gimenez says that another case, another example of Kibud Av, there was one Rabbi Avimai, who had five grown sons, young, stalwart, strong sons, very learned, educated rabbis too. And Rabbi Avimai's father was alive at the time. And when his father's Rabbi Avahu, when he came to the door, Rabbi Avimai would run himself to open the door for him. He did not tell his sons to do it. He did not allow his sons to do it. He said, "This is my father, it's my mitzvah." And he would keep on saying, "Just a moment, yes, yes. In other words, I'm coming." His father shouldn't have to worry about knocking on the door again. One day, his father said to him, "Bring me a drink of water." He ran to get the water himself. When he brought the water, as he was coming, he saw his father had dozed off. So he kept on walking very slowly towards his father, waiting for him to snap out of the semi-sleep, holding the water in front of him, so that when he gets to his father, he'd be prepared to offer it immediately. Now, this was a test for him. It showed the extreme kavod that he had, and in this case, he was rewarded. The Gemara says that thoughts come to a person, and thoughts come from heaven. A person that is blessed with a good thought. He had had a kushya for years, problem or question he could not get answered. And while he was walking towards his father, he finally got the answer, struck him in his mind, as a blessing from heaven. The greatest blessing possible is to get the difficult question answered. His question was, Tehillim, chapter 79, it starts with the words, Mizmor Li Asaf, a song. Song means a happy chapter being sung by Asaf. Asaf was one of the sons of Korach. Korach was that one who revolted against Moshe Rabbeinu, and the earth swallowed him up. His sons did not die, the Pasuk says, because they did not revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, his sons were part of those who composed the Book of Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, which was composed by 10 great people. Majority was, of course, by King David, David HaMelech. But a total of 10 wrote the Book of Tehillim. Asaf was one. So in this chapter 79, it talks about, this is the saddest chapter, speaking about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Asaf sings this song, Hashem, the Goyim, came into your land, and the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, burned, razed to the ground. So his question was always, Asaf sang a song. It should have been Kina. He should have mourned this incident. The loss of the Beit HaMikdash. What is there to sing about? Now, the answer came to his mind. He said that this teaches us how lucky we were. Hashem, who was so infuriated with the Jews, so angered by them, he allowed his whole anger to be poured out and destroy what? The stones and the wood of the Beit HaMikdash. He poured out his anger in destroying the Holy Temple. And he poured out that anger against the Jews, there'd be no trace of Jews left. This was something for Asaf to sing about. Second answer came to his mind was, a mashal, an example of a king's maid who went out to draw water from a well, and her pitcher fell into the well. It was her own private pitcher, and she stood there very sad, crying over her loss. Then, this was a regular maid, ordinary maid. While standing there, the maid of the king came along, and she went to draw water from the well, and she was holding a pitcher of gold, pure gold, which the king's pitcher. And this pitcher fell into the well too. His first maid stopped crying and started to sing very happily. They asked her, "Why are you happy now?" She said, "Because I figured that my pitcher went down to the bottom of the well, never to be retrieved. But now that I saw the king's pitcher went down the well, then he who shall retrieve the king's pitcher will at the same time bring me back mine too." Meaning here that Asaf was singing, Asaf was the son of Korach. Though his father was evil, still, the fact to see his father being swallowed up by the earth, the ground, and to remain under the ground, as the Gemara says, each month person could hear the screams of Korach and his group. Now here, this chapter, the Bet HaMikdash, it says, Tav'u ba'aretz she'areha, the gates of the holy temple sank into the ground. The important items sank into the ground, the holy ark. So he who shall one day retrieve from the ground the holy part, these parts of the holy temple, will also retrieve, bring back the family of Korach. This is the reason why Asa sank. This is what the Avida thought about at the time as he walked close to serve his father. This was his reward. To those who study Gemara, those who have Kushiyot, they'll understand how precious this is. You get an answer to a difficult question. Then the Gemara says that Rav Yaakov asked Abaye a question. He said, I am a student in the yeshiva. I come home after learning. And when I come to the yeshiva, my father hands me a cup and my mother pours a drink for me. What should I do? I'm supposed to serve them, and yet they serve me. What am I supposed to do about this? Abaye answered, from your mother, you may receive this service. She can serve you. Your father, you should not, because I know your father. He is a learned person. He's a very great chacham, and it is not fit that he should serve you. Now here, the Shulchan Aruch explains this very important point. We know as a rule, as we'll have later on, that it is a mitzvah to respect the father, but av shemachal al kevodo kodo machul. A father who's mochel, who's willing to forego his kavod, he's allowed to do that. He can exempt his son from kavod. Same thing applies to an av. A rabbi also may forego his kavod. Don't respect me. Don't stand up for me, you're excused. This a rabbi has the power to do. The one who cannot do this, only the one exception is a king, as we'll see later on. Meanwhile, we see that a father and a rabbi could forego their kavod. So here, Abaye taught him this lesson. Your father could forego, exempt you from honoring him, and showing him honor. But a rabbi cannot forego the kavod of Torah. Meaning, he can say you're exempt from giving me kavod, but he's not allowed to say a mochel, I exempt you from the rule of kavod completely, where the rabbi should treat the student like the student is supposed to treat the rabbi. The rabbi can say to the student, don't serve me, don't do anything for me. The rabbi does not have the power to say, let me serve you, because that is belittling the kavod of Torah. Here, since your father is a chacham, therefore he could say to you, don't serve me. But your father cannot serve you. So if he does try to serve you, it's your duty to refuse to be served because you are belittling this kavod of Torah. Yemena says now another case. These are examples showing the extent of respect for parents. Rabbi Tarfon had a mother where every time she wanted to climb onto her bed, every night he would bend down and tell her, climb, step on my back first, it'll be easier for you to get into bed. Each time that she had to walk to her bed, he would put his hands on the floor, one hand after the other, tell her to step on his hands. You shouldn't get her feet dirty on the floor. When he came to the yeshiva, he boasted, and he said to the rabbis there, look at how I give respect to my mother. Look at the extent of kibud im that I do. They said to him, you haven't even reached 50% of the requirement of that mitzvah. Has she ever taken your wallet and thrown it in front of you into the sea where it got lost, and you did not embarrass her for it? Has she insulted you publicly, and you did not embarrass her for it? Because that's really the peak of respect. The Yemenah says, the Yerushalmi tells us the case, this case of Rabbi Tarfon, and it tells also the case of Rabbi Ishmael, the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva, where each day he would come to the yeshiva And he wouldn't mention anything that was going on at Hulk. He was the chief rabbi there. One day, his mother, before he came to the yeshiva, his mother came to the yeshiva crying. And the students there, students were great rabbis like Rabbi Akiva and the others, they were amazed. They asked her, why are you crying? And she said, I want you to scold my son, Rabbi Ishmael, because he shows me a great deal of disrespect. He does not respect me. They were amazed to hear this. She left. When he came, they told him respectfully, Rabbi, we received a complaint from your mother that you show disrespect. We cannot believe this possible. So he said to them, Chas v'shalom, but let me tell you what happened. You be the judge. I came home at night. My mother says to me, I know who you are. You're a big tzaddik. You're a big rabbi. I want the zechut of serving you. I begged her, please don't. And she said, I insist. All right, so I couldn't help it. She served me. Then she said, I want you to let me wash your feet. Zechut to wash the feet of a tzaddik, because the Gemara says that the Pirkei Avot says to roll in the dust of the feet of tzaddikim, so holy is their dust. She said, I insist, I want to wash your feet. I begged her, please don't. She insisted. I couldn't help it, so I had to go through it. She took a pan of water, washed my feet, and then to my horror, she took the pan and drank out the water. Then she said, this dust is very holy. I want a zechut of drinking. The next night, she said, I want to do it again. And I said, definitely not. I can't stand this. It's not right for a mother to do it. Now, what do you think of that? Who was right? The students said, all the rabbis together, of course, that's the Rabbim, majority rules, they said, your mother is right. Because when the Torah says, respect a parent, how do we judge what the word respect means? What determines the word respect? Yerushalmi says, one simple turn decides that. Bitzono shel adav zehu kimodo. Respect is simply fulfilling the wish of that person, no matter what it is. If that person wants something, you do what that person wants, that's the highest kavod. Not what you think is respect, but what that person feels they want, that's respecting. Your mother wants that act, no matter what you think of it, no matter what your modesty dictates. If she wants to wash your feet, to drink that water, and you let her do it, that's kavod to your mother. The Gemara says that one of the rabbis said after that, Biochanan said, I never saw my parents, because his mother died, his father died while his mother was pregnant, his mother died at childbirth, while giving birth to him. So he said, Ashrei, fortunate is he who never saw parents in his life. He said, because I could never go through life and give the proper respect to parents. Now, the penalty for disrespect to parents is so great, there is more gehinnom for disrespecting parents than any other sin out. I could not live up to this requirement. I could not do what Rabbi Ishmael was required to do. I could never go to see my mother wash my feet or things like that. And I could also not do what Rabbi Tarfo did or what Dabba Benetina did. So therefore, why take the risk of having to get this gehinnom? I'm lucky I never saw parents. The Gemara says, of course, this was only consoling himself. The fact that he didn't have parents, he was so sad about it, he found some means of consolation. The truth is, Ashrei to the person who does have parents, who has the zechiyah, the zechut, the treasure, of being able to every single day come home and do something to serve a parent. But the Torah says this is one of the only two mitzvot of the Torah. You have the reward written right by the mitzvah itself. Honor, respect the parent, respect your parents, because then you'll have long life. And long life doesn't mean that you'll live to the age of 90 instead of the age of 75. That's no big blessing. At the age of 75, a person doesn't have teeth, doesn't have his use of all his organs. 15 years more of suffering is no blessing at all. Even this is what's meant by long life, the place where life is really long. That means more get ended, a special get ended for this mitzvah. So how fortunate is he who does have parents and each day could fulfill this mitzvah. That means gaining literally a treasure every day. How great a loss is it for those who don't, chas v'shalom, they would, any person who doesn't have parents would certainly give, as we'd say, years of his life to have his parents back for a moment, for a day, to be able to serve them and fulfill this greatest of all mitzvah. Yemena tells us another case of Rav Asi. Rav Asi had an old mother, and she was very attached to her son. Rav Asi was one of the great rabbis of the Yemena, one of the students of Rabbi Yochanan, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. He had an old mother, and she said to him, I want you to make me special clothing. Rav Asi hurried and did this. Then she said, I want you to get me, she was a widow, I want you to get me a husband. So he said, I will try my best. I'll look for one for you. Then she said, I want you to get me a husband who is as handsome as you are. When she said this, he saw there was no end to this. He got up, he left her, he went to Eretz Yisrael. He stayed in Eretz Yisrael, he studied Torah in Yeshiva Rabbi Yochanan. Then he heard that she was coming after him. She'd fallen to Eretz Yisrael. So he came before Rabbi Yochanan, but he said to Rabbi Yochanan, I have a sheila, question in law. The law is that a person is forbidden to ever leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutzlaretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. What if I just wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael temporarily to respect my mother, go out and greet her, rather than wait for her to come, I want to go out and greet her before she comes in. May I leave Eretz Yisrael? The Yochanan said, first he asked, can I go out? The Yochanan said, forbidden. Then he said, how about to go towards my mother to greet her? Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't know, which means give me time to think it over. He waited a while. He came back, and Rabbi Yochanan said to him, you may leave. Hashem should return you, should bring you back in peace. Well, this, interestingly, there's a debate here in the interpretation, or rather the translation of this word. Hashem should bless you, bring you back in peace. Whether this means, Rashi Kadosh says this means Hashem should bring you back to your mother in peace, successful journey to greet your mother. Rasha says that this would not have been a blessing. What he said was, go and greet your mother, and Hashem should bring you back to Eretz Yisrael in peace. That's the blessing. Well, he decided to go, and as he started to leave, he heard that it wasn't his mother was coming, but her coffin was coming. She had passed away. They were bringing a coffin to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, if I had known that this had occurred, I wouldn't have gone to all this bother. Because though it is a mitzvah, definitely, of showing respect to a parent even after they pass away, still, in this case, would have been unnecessary to leave Eretz Yisrael for that. He could take care of the funeral after the coffin is brought to Eretz Yisrael. And here the Gemara stresses the fact that the mitzvah of showing respect to a parent is a rule that obligates a child both during the life of the parent and after the passing of the parent. During the life of the parent, the important respect is that a person should never speak while the parent is speaking, never to interrupt, never to take anything on his own kavod, always to say, in the honor of my father, give me this item. Always show kavod to a parent. After the passing of a parent, to always mention the parent with respect during the first 12 months where the actual din, the judgment in heaven takes place, where the soul is being judged. The person, whenever he mentions the name of a parent, should always say, Hareini kaparat mishkavo. May I be a kapara, take the suffering that he has to take, he may have to take now. And after 12 months are over, then he's supposed to say, Zichrono levrachat, lechaye ha'olam haba, or short, it's Zal. Zal means a blessed memory. His memory be blessed. This is the type of respect that a person is supposed to show, both during lifetime and after a parent passes away. Now, of course, the greatest respect that a person could show to a parent after his passing, the Zohar Kadosh says, is by the performance of mitzvot. He goes, Bra Mezaki Abba. A child, the zechut of a child, goes to the parent. Interestingly, the Zohar Kadosh says, there is a pasuk which says, the Gemara brings this question, says that the children shall not be punished for the sins of the fathers, and the fathers shall not be punished for the sins of the children. Ish pechato yumat. Each one shall die or be punished for his own sins. This is a clear statement. The Gemara says, but there's also a pasuk which says, poked avod avot al banim. Hashem places the sins of the fathers on the children. We see a contradiction there. Sins of the fathers are placed on the children, and the children do pay for the sins of the fathers. The Gemara answers, Gemara Shavuot, the same thing. Gemara answers, this means if the children continue the same sins that the fathers have done, they then pay for their own sins plus the father's sins too. The Zohar Kadosh says this is not the better interpretation of that pasuk, because that pasuk is a blessing. The pasuk says Hashem takes the sins of the fathers and places it on the children. That's a blessing, because Bra Mezaki Abba, a son is mezakeh, is a zechut for the father. That's why the first mitzvah in the Torah is a person to get married and have children. The very first mitzvah. Because once he has children, he has a chance for a future life. Here, if a father has sins, and he dies, and he goes before the heavenly court for judgment, at that judgment, then they say, take the sins of the fathers, place it on the children plural, meaning place a little bit on each child, distribute it, until there's very little divided, and then very little for each one, and then the zechut of the children will erase these sins. So this results in a zechut for the father at the time of judgment. So if a person is even evil, if he has good children, tzaddikim, they spare him all the suffering of olam haba, gehinom. The Gemara tells a case of Rabbi Akiva, who once was walking in a field, and he heard a voice, a man screaming. They saw this man carrying a heavy load of wood, and he was being beaten by angels. Rabbi Akiva asked this man what happened, and he said, this is his punishment in Olam Haba. This is his Gehinom. What Rabbi Akiva is seeing is a vision of the other world. So Rabbi Akiva asked him, where do you come from? So he said, I come from the Galil. It's the northern part of Israel. I was a butcher there. And Rabbi Akiva asked, do you have any children? He said, no, but when I passed away, my wife was pregnant. He said, fine. And he left him. He went to the Galilee, inquired there, who knows where this person lived where his wife is. So they said to Rabbi Akiva, why do you want to come in contact with this man? He's cursed. He's the worst Rashad that ever lived here. Rabbi Akiva said, I insist you take me to his wife. He came there and found that his wife had given birth already. Then he took the child himself. He adopted this child, had this child learn how to read the alphabet, put him into yeshiva. He taught him how to say brachot, how to sully. He made him bar mitzvah, and he had him read the haftorah, put on tefillin, and then to learn further to get semicha. After this, Rabbi Akiva had a dream, and he saw the same person, this butcher, this rasheh, who came before him dressed in white garments, very brilliant. He said to him, Rabbi Akiva, I want to thank you that may you receive reward for what you have done for me. Because the moment that you took my child and started to learn alphabet with him, I was elevated from that low level of Gehinom to a higher one. The minute you taught him to say brachot, I was taken out of Gehinom completely. When he said the haftorah, when he put on tefillin, was brought it to get ended, but each time he was elevated more, I was elevated, I progressed, advanced, and got ended. The Zohar Kadosh has the same story in the Zohar Chadash, and says, we see from here how precious a good child is, what a zechut a good child is for a parent, Bra Mezaki Abba. You find that the Chizkiyahu HaMelech, King Chizkiyahu, had a father who was one of the worst idol worshippers of all the kings of the Jews. And yet we find that his name is not listed among those kings that the Gemara mentions as never getting to get in. The Gemara asks, why not? The Gemara says, because Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a tzaddik. As a good son, he saved his father from Gehinnom. Whereas, a father cannot do this for a son. Esav could not get into Gan Eden, though he had a father like Yitzhak Avinu, because a father cannot help a son with mitzvot. A father does enough for his son, and the fact that he brings him into this world, he produces the body, which is the only possible keli container for the neshama. So the son owes his life to his father. This is enough of an opening for his father has done for him. More the father is not required. Of course, he has the other physical rules, spiritual rules during life. He goes for the Brit Milah, Pinyon Abed, teach him Torah, marry him off, and so on. But this is enough done for a son. The son now has to do return for the father. And the greatest kavod he can do for his father is by being pure spiritually, because then he brings kavod, a crown of glory, to his father in Gan Eden, plus nachat, pleasure during his lifetime. Now back to that topic we spoke about before. If, as we said, a father is willing to forego his kavod, he tells his son, you don't have to serve me, this is legal. The son is excused, exempt from serving the father. If a rabbi says to a student, you're excused, you don't have to serve me, you don't have to show kavod, then that person is excused too. Now, Yvette says that the reason why the kavod of a rabbi is excused is because the Pasuk says, B'torato, the Torah that he learns is his own. He acquired it himself. He did not inherit this. Torah is not inherited. The Torah is something that is different than the crown of Kohen or the crown of king. A person is born with the crown of king. He's born a prince. The person is born a Kohen. But he is not born a Chacham, Talmid Chacham. This he has to strive and work for himself. Therefore, the Torah is considered his own. He can forego the kavod he deserves for it. He cannot belittle the kavod of Torah, but he can forego his own kavod. Yehuda asks, if that is so, the rabbi could forego his kavod, how come that the Rava, who was at the feast of his son, during the wedding of his son, he went to serve the rabbis there. These rabbis were great rabbis in the Gemara, but they were his students. They brought the cup to Rav Papa and Rav Huna, and both of them stood up before Rav as he approached them. He brought the cup to other rabbis, and they did not stand up for him. So Rav became very angry, and he said, these first ones are rabbis. These are not. They're not fit to be called rabbis. The Gemara asks, how come that he became angry? After all, he was serving these rabbis at the wedding of his son, which meant that he was serving them, he's foregoing his kavod. The Gemara answers that though he had excused them from showing him kavod, but they had to show a slight movement. Now, for example, the standing up, the real law of standing up is to stand up erect. But there's also hidur, which means to just rise up slightly a few inches and sit down. That's called a slight hidur. So even where a person is forgiven, is exempt, he has to show that slight hidur. And this is why the Gemara says that the case of a Talmid Chacham, those who study in the yeshiva, for example, and the Rosh Yeshiva, or their rabbi, walks in and out of the room constantly, must they stand up each time that he comes in? The Gemara says they are not required to stand up each time. Once in the morning, And once just before leaving, that's sufficient. So Ilya says, Tosafot explains, that Yosef, Shulchan Aruch says, that this is, a fool accepts this, because it is true that they are exempt from this mitzvah. But each time they stand up, there is a mitzvah performed, there is sechad, there's reward for it. So you don't have to pick up this gold piece as this reward, and how foolish it is not to. They are exempt, but still they should have sense enough to stand up each time. However, this is a case where if they don't, there's no sin being committed. Ilya says, well, how bad is that sin? If a person does not stand up, not a person, but a Tamid Chacham, even a Tamid Chacham himself is very learned. Very learned means, of course, one who's well-versed in Shas. He does not stand up to his rabbi, what is the punishment? Ilya says three things. First, he is called a Rasha by Hashem. His title is Rasha. Second, his lifespan is cut short. He does not live long. And third, this Tamid Chacham forgets his learning. So serious is that sin. Therefore, the reason why Ravah was angry with these rabbis, not that he wanted to come out for himself. He did not want to see his students suffer this penalty, Chas v'Shalom. And the Gemara says this was a case of Ravah. It was a case of the great Tanaim, the first generations, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tzadok. These were the rabbis who were Rabbi Akiva's rabbis. Or they were sitting at a feast, the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, the chief rabbi of the Sanhedrin. And at the wedding of his son, he went around serving the tables. And he stood and poured the wine for Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tzadok. He then says that when he poured the wine for Rabbi Eliezer, Eliezer HaGadol refused to accept it. When he poured for Rabbi Yeshua did accept it. Eliezer asked Rabbi Yeshua, his friend, he said to him, what is this? How could you sit there and have Rabbi Eliel, the chief rabbi, stand over us and serve us? Rabbi Yeshua answered, what's strange about that? We find something much more than this. We find the case of Avraham Avinu, who was greater than Rabbi Eliel, and he served Arabs who came to him. Says he served them food, and they appeared before him as Arabs. He took them as Arabs, not as angels, which means they were much lower than we are, yet he who was higher than Rabbi Eliel served ones who were lower than us, so why should we not accept the service of Rabbi Eliel? Rabbi Tzadok, who was sitting there, said to the others, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, why do you have to bring proof from humans? You can bring proof from Hashem himself. Hashem is the king of the world, and yet, instead of being served, Hashem makes the winds blow, the clouds let water down, makes the earth give forth food, prepares food, nourishment for each person. Hashem serves each lowliest person in the world with food. Why should we be able to have Rabbi Gamliel stand over us and serve us? This is his kavod. The fact that he is serving at the wedding of his son, this is kavod no less. There's no more degrading at all than it was for Avraham Avinu. It's certainly a lesson to be taken from Hashem. The modesty of Hashem, where he serves human beings, this is Rabbi Eliel's modesty. To be able to serve, to be the Chachamim. But Yemenah says that this is a case of, how is this possible, by the way? Because we said that a father can forego his kavod, a rabbi can forego his kavod, and a nasi, the nasi, the chief rabbi, can also forego his kavod. Only one cannot forego his kavod. A king cannot exempt others from giving him kavod because the Torah demands that the fear of the king should be upon all Jews. They must respect him. The king cannot exempt him for this. He has no right to. The question here is, if that's the rule by a king, how come then that Kaviyachol Hashem is willing to forgo his kavod, he is the king, how can he exempt people from giving him kavod by serving them? The answer is that the case of Hashem, it is different, because this king is given the kingdom through heaven. Heaven appoints a king, and therefore he has no right to belittle us. But Hashem himself is king. He rules over everything. Nothing is given to him. He is the ruler even over the word king itself. He creates the kingdom. He creates the word king, so there's no rule over him. He wishes he has a right to forgo even his kavod as king. The Oris says that respect for elders is also an absolute law. It says, stand up for an old man and show respect for an elder. The Oris says, what about an elder, an elderly goy? You have to stand up for a very old man who's a goy. The Oris says, Rabbi Yochanan used to stand up for a very old goy. Respect for age. Even though he was an old goy, he would still stand up for it. Other rabbis would not stand up for it. They said, this is belittling our kavod, the kavod of Torah, but they would show he do it, which means they would rise slightly or they would assist him. But Ava, for example, would send his assistant to help this old goy to go where he's going, to help him out. Which means that age is something that Rabbi Yochanan explained. This old man had so many things happen to him during lifetime. He had so many experiences. We must respect him for the experiences he had during life. Interestingly, again, the Zohar Kadosh says, "V'pnei seva taku." Literally, before a very old person, takum, you should rise. The Zohar Kadosh says, this teaches us a very vital lesson. A person is expected to obey all the mitzvot of the Torah. But he has a battle on his hands. He has a yetzer hara. He's got to battle, fight this yetzer hara, fight temptation. If he's a gibor, a real powerful person, he can overcome temptation. But usually, the person is not a complete tzaddik. He commits sins. What happens if he commits sins? He has an exit. He has a solution, and that is to do teshuvah. Person repents, he can get those sins erased. Now, what is called repentance? Does repentance mean that a person who spends his whole youth when he's warm-blooded, he has the heat of youth in him, goes out and has a good time, experiences all the temptations of life, and then when he gets old, when his energy is spent, then he does teshuvah, then he repents. That's not real teshuvah. He cannot say that he's really repenting. The time to do teshuvah is when he is still young, when he still has all his strength and all his energy. So this, the Zohar Kadosh says, is hinted at this pasuk, that b'nei seva takum, that b'nei seva be caught before you arrive at seva, at old age, takum, you should rise up from your nefilah, from your yirideh. If you have fallen into sin, for a temptation, then takum, get up out of it, do teshuvah, before you get to old age, then it's real teshuvah. So this is the message hinted at in this pasuk. The Yemeneh asks, what about a Talmid Chacham who is studying Torah? Interesting question. If he is studying Torah at the time, does he still have to stand up for his rabbi? Because what does standing up for a rabbi mean? Respect for Torah. But he is learning Torah at the time. So he's respecting to that by learning it. Is he exempt that? Even as one rabbi said that he is not required to, he's not permitted to. In the middle of learning Torah, he should not stand up as rabbi. Even as says that Abaye, who was a chief rabbi, heard about this, and he placed a curse on this statement. This is a very strong word. Curse the statement, and he said that Chas v'Shalom, a person should follow this ruling, because certainly, as the Gemara says, what is greater, a written Torah or a living Torah? Even though a person is learning Torah, a living Torah is much more important. So in the midst of learning Torah, he still must stand up for his rabbi, for Rabbi, of course, means Rabbo Muvhak, official rabbi, one who is a living Torah. It's very difficult to find out ones who can be classified as that. But in any event, we find, from all these words, we find that Zohar Kadosh says that, or the Gemara says about Kotu, Hashem, Ibn Torah itself, is extremely particular about the kavod given to rabbis, to be the chachamim, more so than Hashem in particular about his own kavod. We say many times, Mora Rabach kavod Hashemayim. The fear of your rabbi should be the fear of Hashem, fear of heaven. And et Hashem lekechatida, fear Hashem, and the word et adds the fear of rabbis too. Because the kavod of tzadikim is so much demanded by Hashem, that kavod el emunah in them. Hashem says the emunah and Hashem is complete only if the emunah and Moshe Rabbeinu being in the tzaddik emet or the tzaddik of that generation. This is the key to becoming part of the Torah,